singing that song. Thank you, Jenny, for introducing it to Lorna. Wasn't it? Perfect day and a beautiful song. Did you hear what the lyric was there? I've known you as a father and as a friend. That's some powerful stuff there now. Powerful stuff. And so we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Speaking about the, we've been talking for a couple of weeks now about the deep things of God and the miracle of having the mind of Christ. So we're going to see, as we've discussed for some time, this is a binary world in which we live. And we're going to see that truth applied here today. We're going to begin in verse 4. And I recognize we've read this a couple of times now. But we're going to do this again. But starting in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, and read just a few verses. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And as he moves among us and guides us and illuminates, magnifies your word, that we might not only have a better understanding, but Lord, have a calling to live our lives as you instruct, as you guide. And so, Lord, this time of meeting with you, this is going to change us. Lord, help us to change to be more like Christ. For we pray in his holy name. Amen. So we see there, as I was saying, that we live in this binary world. Everything is one way or the other. And I know that's not commonly held these days. But the truth of the matter is that's always been true. The prophet Isaiah was sharing with word from God, saying, but you know, your ways, the Lord said, are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Isaiah 55, you remember this? For higher than the heavens from the earth are my ways than your ways, and your thoughts, my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, we will never have the ways of God, we will never have the thoughts of God, unless we have been supernaturally, miraculously changed into the new creature that we were always intended to be. Did you catch that? So we started I'm not really that old. God started this creation with Adam and Eve. They were made perfectly in the image of God. And then they, very quickly there, they surrendered that opportunity to be in fellowship with God so that they could have what they thought, listen, what they thought was going to be good, the man's wisdom. So it started in the garden, didn't it? You think it's going to end anytime soon? not until the Prince of Peace completely reigns. So the wisdom of this world is reigning in our very hearts unless we have been changed, unless we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that what he said at the last verse of this chapter that I've read a couple times now? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that you may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's a tremendous opportunity. So we need to recognize that this the binary nature of creation is that it is one way or the other way. God would have us to do his way. We tend to want to do the earth's way, the wisdom of men. And so it goes. So earthly wisdom is opposed to spiritual power. Did you catch that? Earthly wisdom is opposed to spiritual power. Now, over and over again there, in the few verses we read there, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, but nor the princes of this world that come to naught. What wisdom are they talking about? We speak the wisdom of God. Before that, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So, in other words, it is spiritual power cast against what we tend to do and have tended to do since the garden, and that is have this sensual desire. So what am I mean by sensual? I mean, do you want to taste it, smell it, see it, touch it? That's sensuality. What was it that Satan tempted Christ with? Those things, those very things. So the things of this world are what Satan will offer. Why? He is the prince of this world. And so we need to recognize that as Satan has certain powers and has used them and displayed them before, he will use them and display them again. My mother, normally a very calm, sweet lady, but my son, who's also a very nice guy, when he was a little fella, he was a lot like his daddy, and that's not a good sign. He'd say, "Well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it." And if my mother was trying to tell him something, she would just get steamed up. Now, little fella, young man, you might think about this just a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, I want you to think about how many people do you know and how often have you been guilty of saying, "Well, I'll have to prove this for myself in some way." If you're proving something for yourself, you're going to do it what? By your research into what? What you can see, what you can hear, the physical evidence of the thing, right? And what we're saying is God's word is filled with warnings against following after our senses. How'd you get saved? Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said, "For through grace are you saved by faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God." Now, please hear this. What is grace? Measure that for me. What is faith? How much does that weigh? Right? We're talking about things that cannot be discerned intellectually, cannot be grasped physically. And that's because they're the things of God. And if we're talking in this way, we need to understand that God has warned us. Why? Because there's coming one who, according to the book of the Revelation, says, John said, and he will have many signs and powerful wonders, right? Who is that? It's the Antichrist. Why? Because he will be doing things and people say, "Well, he must be like God. He's like God. Look at the things he can do," right? When Job, remember Job, when those things struck him, those tragedies struck him, who was blamed for those things? God. God was blamed. Remember? Oh, yeah. See, lightning fell and the house fell and the tornado came and all these things came, and it must be God. Well, who was it? Satan, right? So you and I, dear friends, we need to wake up. If we haven't awakened to this reality, is we face a powerful foe. This is spiritual warfare. We talked about this before. And if we think we're going to win it in some way through wisdom of men, we have failed already. We are victims of our own hubris there. It is not our battle. It is the battle that God will win for us in the midst of it. I mean, think about that just a moment. As God has never called you to do the warfare. He's just called you to be present when he wins the battle. What do you think about Hezekiah just a little bit? Those 85,000 Assyrians. that woke up dead one morning because Hezekiah prayed. Right? Who did that? The angel of the Lord, the death angel, moved through that camp. And what I'm trying to share with you is that we have to decide. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Either the gods of this place or the living God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I'm asking all of us. That's the challenge for all of us, is that where are we when it comes to the reality of our lives and what our lives mean? Are we following after what God has said, following that power of God? And remember, in Timothy, Paul warned Timothy. Now, there are some folks to avoid, but among them, most especially, you need to avoid those folks who have, listen, a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What does that mean? They had some good religion, but they didn't know Christ. They didn't have the mind of Christ, and therefore, what they were doing were the things that pleased them and said, well, here's what we do for worship, and God, you take it, because this is what we're going to give you. Right? That didn't work. It never did. It never will. But we seem to see that repeated over and over again. We see that in that warning repeated over and over again. It's almost like from generation to generation, we need to be reminded, isn't it? From day to day, we need to be reminded that God has called us to do not what we can do, but what He can do with us. You know, we've discussed for some time about the privilege of being obedient. One of the privileges of being obedient is that you're present when God does miracles. I was talking with somebody yesterday who kind of has some kind of religious kind of background kind of thing going on. And I was talking to them about the truth of the matter is what God has called us about is change. You know, you do the right thing. You do the right thing. Why? Because God has called you to do the right thing. Do you always understand the right thing? No, I don't. Is it popular? Hardly ever. I want to share this with you. I didn't mean to get into this long story, but years and years ago, some of you may remember there was a boycott on tuna because the tuna trawlers were killing dolphins when they were catching the tuna. And this is a long time ago. I was like a teenager myself. And that was a previous millennium and all that. So the truth of the matter is, you know, I used to love me some tuna, you know, tuna fish sandwiches or tuna fish casserole or tuna, you know. And I quit eating tuna for some period of time, and my brother noticed. He said, what is that? I said, well, you know, they're killing dolphins when they do that, and I'd rather just not eat tuna if that's what it's going to be. I just rather that we have, because there's a way of, you know, as you know now, right? There's a way of catching them without killing all these dolphins. And you know what my brother said? And he's a good fella. You've met him. Fine fella. He's about 11 years older than me. But he has the wisdom of the world a lot. And he said, you know, you're not going to make a difference. That's a lie. Listen to me. That's a lie. Whenever somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you doing the right thing, that's not going to make a difference. No. Listen to me carefully. When somebody says to you, you doing the right thing is not going to make a difference, that is a lie. And where did the lie come from? The father of lies. Why? Because when you do the right thing, something changes. It begins with you. If nobody else changes, you changed. And what did you change? You changed to be more like Christ. Hear what I'm saying. If nobody else, if you had no influence over anything, if nobody in your family ever acknowledged what you were saying was true, if what you were doing never amounted, quote, to anything to anybody in this community or anywhere else in the world, if it changed you to be more like Christ, it's a victory. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me carefully, in the economy of God, it never works that way. You have the promise of God. If you'll do the right thing, you will stand amazed. You'll stand amazed at what happens because you've done the right thing. Just do the right thing. And so today, whenever I go to the grocery store and I pick up a can of tuna, it says, dolphin safe. And I think of my brother. Right? I'm going to tell you this. God intends for us to be available so we can experience Him doing miracles in our presence. Listen to me carefully. I talked about the power, the spiritual power of God, or the earthly wisdom of men, and we're following after one or the other. Every one of us, every moment of our lives, it is a choice that we're making. Now, if you look in verse 6, it says, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. When it says princes of this world, who do you think of? Satan. And it says princes. Well, there's only one Lucifer. There's only one Satan. There are many demons. And, of course, he's one of them. But who else is he talking about that? People who have authority in this world who are following after Satan with their mindset. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are opposed in this world as we're following Christ in the supernatural power of His Holy Spirit to do what He's called us to do. And when I say went to do what He's called us to do, it's not us that's doing it, is it? We talked last week about I am the vine, you are the branches, right? Didn't we talk about that last week? And the truth of the matter is, He is doing through us what only God can do, called miracles. Yeah, I'm talking supernatural here. But you see, you got saved supernaturally. And you and I are called to live supernaturally for the glory of Christ, for the glory of God. And the princes of this world, they're going to fall. I mean, and I'm telling you, there are people that are, I think, even well-meaning. I think there are folks that are well-meaning who follow after the teachings of this world, the princes of this world, the authority of this world, the sensuality that says, oh, yeah, we can prove this by this, this, and this, right? And I'm just sharing with you that time and time again in the Bible, the Word of God warns us that if you're not following after Christ, if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're following it after this sensuality that you find so natural within yourself, and who are you serving then? Satan, the prince of this world. Listen to me carefully. You can be saved by the blood of Christ and still serve Satan. Did you know that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because every time you sin, you don't think you're glorifying Christ, do you? And every time you and I sin, we are serving Satan. It's really that simple. So let's be clear that God is warning us that this is the way it is. It's the wisdom among men. And boy, I'll tell you what, go ahead and try to tell somebody about the things of the Lord. And the Bible says, of course, they cannot discern this. They're not able to discern this. All right, we're going to talk about that later in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, like the cross of Christ is foolishness unto them who perish. All right, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to, in fact, be, is to be spiritual beings created in the image of our Father, walking in close relationship with our friend, right? We like it when we talk that way in the songs, don't we? So, in verse 7, it says here, we speak of the wisdom of God, a mystery. Now, mystery does not mean some kind of unknown something. It is something previously, listen, think about it this way. This will bless your heart. A mystery, when in the New Testament was talked about a mystery, it's talking about something previously withheld by God and now revealed. And what was it? It was from the glory of God. What was it? Verse 7, which God ordained before the world. Who's that? What did he ordain before the world? There's this lamb that was slain before the world. And so the plan for our redemption was in place before the creation, before the fall. So before we had a creator, we had a redeemer. We had a savior. Why? There are no cracks through which anybody may fall. There's nobody. Listen to me carefully. People talk about God and his love and all that. There's nobody in the earth that's ever walked the earth who did not have an opportunity. Who did not have an opportunity to walk with God. Okay? Please hear that. Every one of us is descended from someone who did walk with God, and every one of us has the opportunity to look around at his creation and say, this is clearly from something other than itself. So in verse 7, it talks about a mystery, something ordained before the world. It is given. Jesus was talking in parables. Do you remember in Matthew, he was talking in parables? He said, listen, the disciples came up and says, well, Lord, why are you talking these parables? And listen to what he said. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the Lord, of the kingdom of heaven. It's given. How is that given unto them? A relationship with Christ. You see, that's what everything is about in Corinthians. That's what everything's about in the Bible. And guess what? That's what everything should be about in our lives. My relationship with Christ. And so when we start talking about the way that we live and are walking, not just having a form of godliness, but exercising the spiritual power of godliness, who gives you the power? The Holy Spirit. Who is he? God Almighty. Where is he? He's within you, right? And so when we talk about these things, yeah, these are the deep things of God, and they absolutely violate every rule of our discussion from the wisdom of the world. And I'm begging you, if you haven't already, cast away the wisdom of this world. And what I'm saying is, if you sit in the midst of tomatoes and garlic and these other spices and meatballs, after a while, you know what you're going to be like? You're going to be ready for the spaghetti, right? You understand what I'm saying? You don't get it. Whatever we steep ourselves in, we become. All right? Meditate on these things that are pure, that are true. Does that sound right? So if we're allowing ourselves, because I'm telling you, folks, I can't tell you how many, for years and years, I never forget Brother Steve sitting. Now, this is First Baptist Church, Watertown, Tennessee. So if you're looking for me to, I'm not losing my mind entirely. Brother Steve was right over there. He's chairman of deacons. He's head of the science department for the local public school. And I would say things about the power of God and about creation and about this earth not being billions of years old, and he would just about fall out of the pew. Why? Because he was a fine fella. I mean, if you knew Brother Steve, you'd know he was a good man. And he loved Jesus. But all of his life he had been taught, these things are facts. This is the wisdom of the world, and you're going to live according to this. And bless his heart, he had such a struggle saying, but what about the Word of God? It's just, and listen to me carefully. You can trust absolutely your soul with the truth of the Word of God. some of the things of the wisdom of the world we've seen come and go in our lifetimes, right? In our lifetimes, we've seen it. And certainly in, throughout history, the wisdom of the world, it changes. And we're seeing things now that are so far removed from science, absolute depravity, and we call it science. The medical profession, you know, my mother was a nurse. My uncle was a physician. The medical profession that we once, that I knew growing up as a kid, gone. I'm just telling you, it's a fact. It's gone. Why? Because you have people that are supposedly medical professionals saying things that are insane, and other medical professionals that are no better are too afraid to stand up and say that ain't right, because their careers will be ended. Please hear what I'm saying. You know this is true. What I'm saying is, do you think there's anything less acceptable for you and I than speaking the truth? The truth is, those who need to hear it resist it with all they can. And I'm asking for all of us to be willing to trust that the Holy Spirit has called us to deliver the message in His power, to deny the wisdom of this world. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You indeed. Thank You for Your love, Your grace. Thank You for all the ways You've blessed us. And Lord, we do ask You to help us to be committed to Your truth, committed to be Your ambassadors, Your witnesses, for the glory of Christ, as we pray in His holy name. Amen.